Today I will talk basic of the Buddhism. First, it will start on the refuge and how to set up the altars and all these basic issues.
So generally, the first, starting with the basic of the Buddhism, generally the one thing we have to understand that the, what is the really the Buddhism is. What is the Buddhism? Generally, when you look at generally when you look at the way as a human, so they is one once they are born as a humans, and one thing in the our life, they have a lot of the different experience and the different challenges of the different conditions we will meet. So when the life there, we will have a lot of the different challenges and a lot of the different the difficulties, and all these will become in our life. Yeah, so in our life, there are a lot of challenges and difficulties comes in our life. So, okay, so challenges and a lot of the difficulties comes in our life. So as we are being as a human, we always try to find a solution that is okay. We do that. So thing is, what's happening is that solutions and all the challenges what we are when we are facing, so that solution, sometimes we might get the right solution, sometimes we cannot find the right solutions. So that's why the Buddhism is one of the advice. Buddhism is one of the advice for us to teach us how we can look at these difficulty and the challenges and the problems what's coming in our life. So it's also the teaches us how we have to look at the our life. So way of the looking at our life. Yeah. So that's the Buddhism is one sort of advice and the one sort of the general teach how we have to live.
So Buddhism is generally as it teaches us how to live. So it teaches us how to live. So it can be say as the life logic. So generally, first we have to understand the Buddhism. So generally, the basic point of the Buddhism, mainly the basic point of the Buddhism is three points. It's mainly basic points of the Buddhism. It teaches the three points. It's a very simple way. It teaches us not to do the negative things, do the right things, the might, three points. Not to commit the negative actions, do the right actions and control the mind. So these are the three main, these three basic points in the Buddhism, what it teaches. Among these three points, most important thing is controlling the mind. To control your mind, that is the main important message of the Buddhism gives. Also, it teaches the way how we can control the mind. Yeah. So that's why now the thing is that the Buddhism is something like that. So now the beginning of Buddhism, what we have to know is that generally the Buddhism is taught by the Buddha Shakyamuni. When the Buddha Shakyamuni was teaching the Buddhism, he taught the Buddhism is a very simple manner, very simple way. Very simple and a very effective way. So one thing that everything, when you look at every gadget or the whatever, it is simple, then we can be more to easier to use. When gadgets are more complicated, programs are more complicated, more difficult to use. So Buddhism, when the Buddha Shakyamuni, when he teaches the Buddhism, he teaches the very simple way. So it's a very effective and a very easy to apply that in our life. So that's why the Buddhism, whenever Buddha was talking, preaching the Buddhism, he mainly basic point, three important points he have emphasized on the Buddhism. The first one, as I told you, don't to indulge in the negative actions, don't to commit a negative action, and do the right things, do the all the right actions, and the controlling mind, three points. Now the three points, and now the first you will think that when we not to do the negative action, first we have to understand what is the negative action, what is the positive action. These two points, the negative action and the positive point, then it talks about the car, that is the karma. So that could jump, that is talks about karma. Buddhism mainly focuses on the training the mind, because the purpose of the training the mind is all the one in our life, what we feel, the joy and the suffering, also feeling by the mind. When we can train the mind, so we can reduce the feeling of the suffering, we can increase the feeling of the joy. So now the thing is that, so that's why the train the mind is a very, there are a few, there are very simple way. Buddha have teach the some of the methods of the training our mind, that is called the Buddhism. So that's why the Buddhism cannot be considered as a religion. So that's why the general, the religion idea always comes on the base on the religion means always based on some rules and regulation very strictly. So Buddhism is not based on the rules and regulations. So Buddhism is some sort of the methods or the advices to give us the people how we can think better, how we can change ourselves. This is some sort of method or the it's advices. So it can be, it can be called as a science of mind. So that's why the Buddhism, whenever you see the Buddhism, generally the Buddhism, whenever you look at the Buddhism, you have to look at the Buddhism as the one of the method or advice to changing ourselves in the body, to change ourselves into the more happier. That is the one main advice of Buddhism, okay? So the Buddhism, look at the Buddhism. So from Buddhism, as I told you before, Buddha Shakyamuni after the Buddhism. When the Buddha Shakyamuni was given, he first wanted the people to how we can free from the suffering and how we can be the better, how we can become the happier. Amen. So that's why I always used to say that Buddhism is a one of the life logic. It is just like the studies of the whole life, studies of the human life. Also, it is a one type of the knowledge to promote of the, our human's value, knowledge to the promote of our human happiness. So yeah, so that's why that Buddha, when the Buddha was giving the teaching of the, so that's, he mainly focused on the, to change the human into the better human, to change the human into more happier. So that's why that he gave the teaching. So his Buddhism is mainly focused on the generally changing the ourselves. Okay. So because the generally people, many people feel that the Buddhism means to just go to the temple and the bow front of the Buddha statues, they're just offering out of Buddhism at all, okay? That's why the Buddhism, generally Buddhism is whether you go to the temple, whether you don't go to the temple, it's not a big important from Buddhism point of view. Mainly Buddhism point of view, the changing the yourself is the most important point. So that's why the Buddha, when you look at the Buddha's so long history, so Buddha was give the first teaching, and the first teaching and the lot generally he gave the 40 years of the teachings. So when we just summarize the all these of the 40 years of his teaching, mainly he focused to teach us how we can change ourselves, how we can train our mind. Once we can train our mind, so that's why that we can live much happier. So that is the what I see as Buddha's the main advice. Okay, so that's why now the Buddha, so that's why the teaching, the Buddhism was taught by the Buddha, Buddhism was taught by the Buddha. So that's why in the Buddhism, this comes a refuge, the three jewels, the three jewels. Because in the three jewels, who's the who gives the teachings of Buddha, teacher is a Buddha, and the what is teaching calls Dharma, and whoever practices, but these also teach called the Sangha. Yeah, hallelujah. So thing is that the one time in the Vietnam, one person asked me that the person can take that she can take the refuge of the Buddha, she can take the refuge of the Dharma, but she don't want to take the refuge of the Sangha because she sees a lot of the bad Sanghas. So that is one of the misunderstanding of the Sangha. The Sangha doesn't mean the monks and nuns. Sangha actually the Sangha means who really practice the Buddha's teaching properly. That is Sangha. Even monks and nuns. Just wearing the clothes doesn't make any big thing. Even if they are not practicing the Buddha's teaching properly, they are not Sangha at all. Even they are monks and nuns, they are not a Sangha at all. So generally, Sangha means who practice the Buddhism very properly. That is a Sangha. Monks and nuns doesn't mean the Sangha. Okay, even if you become the monks and nuns, even if you not practice the Buddhism properly, you are not Sangha at all.
Yeah.
So that's okay. So when you're taking the refuge to the Buddha, I'm a Sangha, that means that you are taking refuge with who are practicing the Buddha's teaching very properly. That's a Sangha. So that's why, I quite oftenly say it in the Vietnam. Because sometimes in the many people get confused with the Sangha. They think that who wears the monks and nun, it will be very special. Nothing. You can become a monk and nun in the one day, few hours you can become a monk and nun. That doesn't make you very special. Yeah, some people feel that when the monks and nuns are very special, it's not like that. You can become a monk or nun in a few hours. Few hours you can become a monk and nun. Becoming the monk and nun is a nothing special, okay? It is a nothing. only when you practice the Buddhism properly, that's make you very special. In the Tibetan world, we are the kids. So all the senior used to ask the one question, do you study the Buddhism properly? Do you study the Buddhism properly? Yeah. Same thing like that. When you see the monks and nuns, you have to ask the one question, do you practice the Buddhism properly? Becoming a monk and nun is nothing. It's not a special. When they practice the Buddhism properly, whoever, even the non-monks, practice the Buddhism, that is a special. So now that when you're talking about the three refuge, this is the one of the steps. The refuge is something like that. Now that generally, as I told you before, generally in our life, there's many things of the challenges, sometimes a lot of the unfavorable condition might occur in the life. So that time, the first thing that when we have the challenges, the first thing what we need. First thing is the end of the difficulty or the challenges that when we have to overcome that. First thing in our life, what we need or the challenges or all these difficulties, we need a hope. So once we have the hope, then everything is very simple and very easy. So generally, the hope is something like you can come from the faith. Faith will bring the hope. When you have a faith, very strong faith, then the hope will come. When you have no faith, then it's very difficult to generate the hope. So hope comes from the faith. So that's why the English is saying very, very, very beautiful saying in the English. In our life, when you lost the money, nothing is lost. When you lost the health, something is lost. When you lost the hope, everything is lost. So that's why the hope is the one of the strongest key point to come to overcome the all the challenges. Those are my experience with the people, with the meeting, with so many different peoples, especially from the hospital, from the depressed and the anxiety people and the people, especially this time that when I'm meeting with the people in the Nepal earthquake victims who have lost everything in the earthquake. Because this time I met so many people who have lost the home and everything in the earthquake. While with the still, the, what I find is a very interesting point is that their mental state is not much the depressed. Such a tragedy came through the Nepal. Such a tragedy, thousands of thousands of people lost the home and the family. A lot of things happened, but not a single person committed the suicide this time. Not a single person had committed suicide. I met several people who lost everything, some roles are related, but the mental state is that not much of the depressed. Mainly, there are a few reasons why a mental state is not much depressed. There are a few thoughts that they are mind made. The one thought is that because they have hope. They are feeling that now the bad thing is already over. Now they feel that now the good thing will come. There's one hope for them. That helps them very much to overcome the days of the past days of the difficulty times of the earthquake. So that's why the hope is something like in the human's life. If you look at yourself, there's one only when you have the hope, then everything, the challenges or the difficulties, once it comes in the life, it will be not that much of the big. So that's why the hope only comes from the faith. You need one faith. When you have the strong faith, then you can have the strong hope. Yes. So the hopes come from faith. Not the two generations. Faith comes from hope, and then one question comes to whom we have to faith. Who do we draw the faith to whom we are trust? That's the question comes. English is what saying. English is saying that don't trust the money. Don't trust money. But keep the money in the hand of whom you trust. Don't trust the money, but keep the money in the hand of the whom you trust. Yeah, so that's the thing. So that's why now the thing is that the to whom we have generated the faith. So in the Buddhism point of view, we're talking about generating the faith on the someone really have no flow effect. So that's why we have to Buddha. Because the Buddha is a person who has not any flow. So that's generally when you look at the three jewels, when you look at the three jewels, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, the Buddha, the quality of the Buddha is very special. The quality of the Buddha is that the Buddha is a person who do not have any defect and who is very compassionate toward all other sentient beings. So that's why when you're taking the refuge through the Buddha, always you have to think that one thing is that when you have to think the Buddha will always help. Buddha will always help you. He always loves you. Buddha is always compassionate towards you. So that's why the three jewels, when you take the, when you have the any difficulty or challenges, so that's why the, when you generate the hope, so that's why what you need, you have to faith, you need the faith or trust. That's what we call the person of the Buddha. When you have the trust on the faith of the Buddha, then only that hope will, that hope will help you to get the strength, to challenge the challenge, to challenge the, your difficulties. So, when I was traveling to the Tibet, maybe 2 weeks back, when I was traveling to the Nepal, I think it's the 15th of June or something. Yeah, some, yeah, 15th or 16th of June, I was traveling to, I traveled to the Nepal. So, when I was traveling to the Nepal, that time, so two times, already very huge earthquake, they were already shaking the country. You know? So, first time is either May 25, it was April 25, then the, again the May 12, again it hit a very strong earthquake in Nepal. Yeah. So when I was now the traveling to the Nepal, when I asked my travel agent to get me the ticket, always I used to get the ticket from him. That my travel agent told me that he was so surprised and told me, "Ramuji, really you want to go to Nepal? People are running out from Nepal. Are you sure?" I asked my student to join with me. When my student called me that time, they were in India, so my student called his parents. His parents suggested he come. So this is the, so then the flight, then we are in the flight and we are now going to, so then after that we to go, and now when was I'm flying from now to, I just prayed for Buddha and said that really what I'm doing to the going to Nepal to do the service for the humanity, to help the first earthquake victims. So my life and my students' lives and everything, I will hand over to you. Now it's in your hand. With that faith, so I challenge with my fear. I challenge with my fear and generate the hope that I hope that now nothing will happen. So generally, you can imagine the person whose students, whose whole family is having in such a place where they're constantly having such a strong earthquakes. Now you can imagine how the mental state it will be. So that's now the thing is that as I fly in the flight, I pray for the Buddha. That is a prayer, and I just pray for the Buddha. I'm trusted on the Buddha. I have faith on the Buddha. So that faith will bring me the one who, the hope that everything will be fine. That hope helped me to get and do something in the Nepal. I did something in the Nepal because I had the hope that everything will be fine. That hope comes from the faith what I'm having on the Buddha. This is very much interrelated. Human psychological mind. So now that this is okay. So one thing. So that's why the now the Buddha is now we have to try to generate the faith and the trust of the person of the Buddha. The Buddha is the quality person who are having such a good quality. Number one, that he don't have any flaws and defects. Number two, he is compassionate toward all of the sentient beings. So that's why in the three G's, the first it comes to Buddha. The Buddha is a person whom we can trust fully. Okay, number two is the Buddha's, now the Dhamma. Dhamma is especially the Buddha's teaching and the three jewel Dhamma. Buddha's teaching is something like that. It is just like a guideline, how we have to follow in our life, what we have to follow in our lives. That is something guideline, so the Buddha's teaching. That is the second that Dhamma is. Just few days ago, I was in Vatican with one of the Christian cardinals. Cardinal usually is called one of the highest cardinals. Successor of the Pope, second Pope and the Cardinal, just a few days back in the Vatican office. And so with that Cardinal, we had a few issues. Generally, the main discussion is about that how we can, especially for the youths, can overcome it the better way. Youths can come better to do on the right path. So we are discussing about the matter with how the people, especially the young people, can go on the right spiritual path, right on the spiritual path. How can they can defend from the wrong paths? And then the cardinal usually means the successor, not the Pope of successor. That he is the Pope successor. Christian, the cardinal, the Pope successor. He told me the one thing. The most important thing is they have to read the sacred books. Very interesting. It's only one thing. So, I need to talk Okay, then I told him the one thing. Okay, really, I like the yoga. Yeah. So then I told him the one thing that I told him, okay, so you're telling that verse, reading the sacred book. So I asked him that usually I read the Bible. I read the Bible and I told him that, can you get me the signature of the Pope on my Bible? So then I told him that, your point is very interesting, too, especially the people start to read the very sacred books. So then they can get the knowledge. So he told me like that. That's a very interesting point he told me. So then I told him that I read the Bible. Usually I read the Bible. I asked him, can you get me the sign of the Pope on my Bible? So I asked that the captain, the Pope successor, that can you get me the sign of my Bible by the Pope? Cannot align your mind. Okay. So then I asked him that I'm reading a Bible, and I asked him that can he give me the signature of the Pope on the Bible? I asked the cardinal. Then he told me the one thing. Told the Pope never signed. Pope never signs. Then I told him, okay, if the Pope never signed, can you sign on my Bible? He said that, yeah, he can sign on my Bible. So that's why the sacred, as he said, reading the sacred books. So that's why Buddha's teaching. Buddha's teaching, it gives a lot of the master people that how we can live. How we can live with a rightful. How we can live peacefully, how we can live happily. That's a lot of the message what the Buddha's giving, that message for the Buddha's Dharma. How to liberate from the suffering. Yeah. So, okay, so that's the Buddha's teaching, okay? Buddha's teaching is, okay? So Dharma is Buddha's teaching. Now the third thing, Sangha comes. Sangha means the who follows the Buddha's teaching very properly, who practice the Buddha's teaching very properly. That is a Sangha, okay? These are the three jewels. These are the three jewels, and they are the three jewels at whom we have to generate the trust from these three things. So if you practice the Dharma properly, you are also Sangha. Even if you are not a monk and nun, you have become a Sangha. Even if you are monks and nun, if you are not practicing the Buddhism properly, you are not Sangha at all. Even if you are wearing the monks or clothes or whatever. Okay? So three jewels, okay? So that's why whenever you are saying that I take refuge to the Buddha, Dharma, or the Sangha, that means that whenever you know that, what you have to generate the faith and the trust of the three jewels. Whenever you have a faith and the trust of the three jewels, then it will bring the hope. That hope will help us through the challenges, the official difficulties in our life. So that's why the interesting thing is that Buddhism point of view, we have the every potential. We all have a very potential to become the Buddha. Everyone has that potential. So now generally, when you are having the faith and the trust on the three jewels, now for the how you have to set up the altars in your home. Generally, in the Vedanta, you set up the altar of your family's ancestor altar, and then the Buddha's altars and the two altars you usually set up. So some people used to ask me that their faith is a very thin gate of one altar.
Yeah.
Quite a couple of years back, someone asked me like that, yeah. Yeah, generally, how you have to do when you set up the altar, when you have to keep the one photo of the Buddha, that is symbolizing the Buddha's body. And it will be good that if you can keep the one of the Buddha's heart sutra or any of the Buddha's teaching, that's symbolizing the Buddha's teaching. The altar, I'm talking about altar, Buddha's photo or the heart sutra, keep the one copy of the heart sutra or any of the sutra, that's symbolizing the Buddha's speech. Also, if you can keep the photo of the stupa, that's symbolizing the Buddha's mind. So in the altar, if you can keep the three things, Buddha's photo or the heart, one of the Buddha's texts like the Heart Sutra and the photo of the stupa, then it will symbolize the Buddha's body and mind and speech. Then after that, maybe not that label, little bit lower label, then you can make up the altar for your ancestor. When you make the altar for your ancestor, you cannot make it with the same label, the Buddha's label. So you make a one label altar for the Buddha's, then after that label, then the lower label, then you can set up for the altar for the ancestor. So then when you're setting up the altars, then you have to set up not only the altar, then you start to do the offerings. When you do the offering, there are very few offerings that you can do. That the first offering is a water bowl offering. The water bowl offering, maybe you can set up the one water bowl, or the seven water bowl, or the three water bowl, that your own convenience, okay, with your own convenience. Generally, when you're offering the water, water is a very clear, so that it's for the offering the water, it will mix our minds clear. Okay. So then when you can offer the one water bowl or a three water bowl or seven water bowls, then you look at your own convenience, okay? What you offer at the morning, then the evening time, whatever, whenever you come back from the office or school or whatever, then you can throw that water. Tomorrow, can you change that water? You can offer the new water. But the very interesting thing, one of the, my students told me that he had done the wondrous. He did is that, he offered the water bowl and the Buddha's water bowl in the water. Then what he did, he used that water, even when he had to throw that water, he used to the one pot. Pot, and he poured that water in one pot. What he found is after the months that happened months later, the pot where he threw the water which offered to the Buddha, that pot, in that pot, the flowers grows much better. That's what he told me. You can also do like that experiment and see whether it really makes an effect. It's a difference. Okay, that's the offering of the water offering. No? So after that, you can offer the incense. Many important things, whenever you offer water, you have to think that you are offering the water which is the fill of the whole of the universe. When you offer whatever the incense, you have to think that you are offering the incense which fill of the whole of the universe. So when you're offering, do the offering. So when you're offering, you can just say that the offering, saying that I follow Buddha, I follow Dhamma, I follow Sangha. So morning, whenever you're offering, one, you have to think that today's the whatever the activity, today, whatever the job, what you're going, today, the whatever the challenge is coming to you, you just ask the Buddha to help. Just give the trust and ask the Buddha to bless. That, well, the thinking that itself, it will give you a lot of psychological strength, psychological power. That is, once you have a psychological standard of power, then everything you, what you have the job, you can do very easily. When you are the demoralized, when you lose the psychological strength, then the very small challenges, very small problem, it will make it very difficult. Okay, now I will leave for the few minutes for the question answer sessions. If you have any question, you can write the questions, okay? Especially write the question who are very new beginners, okay? Only for the beginners, okay? If you're any beginners and have just joined, newly joined beginners, okay, you can write the questions, okay? Any questions, okay? It is related with the Dharma or unrelated with the Dharma, whatever.
So when people make frustration, I see that they used to touching their hands and the two thumbs, they put their two thumbs inside the palm. So what's the meaning of that hand position?
Okay, when you pray and the touch the palm, there are a few different ways of touching the palms, okay? Generally, when you put the fingers inside, it's the thumb inside of the palm and making the prostration. The question is that, isn't it?
Yep.
Meaning, yeah. So when you put the thumb inside the your palm, the your palm, the shape will become like a jewel. So we call that a jewel shape. We call that shape as a wish-filling jewel shape. So whatever we pray, that will come through. So that's why this is a symbolizing the wish-filled jewel. When you look at this, can you see me? So when you put your thumbs inside of the palm, that the hand shape will come as we call the wish-filling jewel. This shape like a wish-filling jewel. So that means that whatever we pray, that will come true. So second thing is that whenever you put the thumbs inside of your hand, it means that in generally in our human's body, we have the one central nerve inside of the body. And that central nerve, so winds are not going in that central nerve. When the winds started to go in that central nerve, our mind and we will be activating the very differently. So that is also to symbolize into winds to move into our central channel, okay? Can you just answer the other questions? Yeah.
Yes, sir. So what's the meaning of the 8,000 offering?
What meaning of?
Of the 8,000 offering.
What?
Eight types of offering is water, flowers, and then.
Eight maro, two maro.
The rice, eight.
I say. Argam pandit.
Yeah. Last one, Argam pandit.
Argam pandit. This is generally the eight different offerings, especially it comes to the water, flower, so incense, or like this, or the music, so there's 8 different hours. Especially this is the offering for the 5 senses of the body.
Yes. So the other question is, the next, so the stupa will represent the mild Buddha. So on the altar, should I put the stupa?
Okay, the photo of the stupa, just as the near of the Buddha's photo, okay? Just near of the Buddha's photo, keep the photo of the stupa that represents the Buddha's mind. Photo represents the Buddha's body, okay? Mm-hmm. Then the scripture like a heart sutra, book of the heart sutra, out of the sutra books that represents the Buddha's teaching, also you keep in that on the altar, okay? In that altar. So, when you get these three things, then it represents the Buddha's mind, body, speech. Okay, another question from you.
The question is, I'm having a very happy life and I enjoy my life. I have a happy life with my family and I have a very stable job and very stable income. So I don't see any difficulties or any challenges in my life. So what's the reason of taking refuge?
Okay. Congratulations. You are having a happy life. Stable, good salary. Congratulations. You know, that's really so many people don't have like that. Okay, stable job, good salary, and a happy family. So many people don't have that. Okay. Okay. Now the reasons that why you have to take the refuge. No? Reason for taking the refuge is that there are two reasons. Okay. Yeah, two reasons that what you have to take refuge. Okay, two reasons. The first reason is that when you're taking the refuge, it means that so you are trying to be the better human. So to become better human. But you have a very happy life, very good. You have a happy family, very good. You are having the job, very good. You are having the good salary, very good. Now what you have to do? You have to become the better human. You are the better than the day before you are. That's the one important thing in our life, yeah. It might be all people might think they are good. I believe that you all might be good. But I'm asking you to not to become the good. I'm asking you to become the better than whom you did before yesterday. Okay. Now the second one, taking the refuge. Second point is that in this life, everything is not permanent. Tomorrow you might not have it. No one can say that. Just an incident like a Nepal, that earthquake, in 1 minute, everything changed in the life and the people's life, just in the 1 minute. Who are having the house and everything, it collapsed in the 1 minute. Who are having the friends and the relatives, just collapsed in the 1 minute. Sometimes in this life, sometimes in this world, in the 1 minute can change everything. Just very simple example, just go to the hospital, try to do some of the blood test that your family, and go to the hospital, do the blood test. How sure your every report will come perfect? Very difficult. It might be perfect right now, just after the 6 months. Very difficult to say that it will become the perfect. Now, if you go in the hospital and you and your family do some of the blood test and all this physical test, it is very difficult to say that it will be, every result will come as a perfect. Even right now, it might become the perfect. After 6 months, very difficult to say whether it will become perfect or not. So that's why so many people are so scared to go to the hospital to do the test, because they're worried that the report will not come, the very favorable report. One worst thing is this world is impermanent, is one of the worst thing. When everything is perfect, because of the impermanent, the perfect will become the imperfect. That is the one worst thing in this world. So that's why the impermanence makes us, so that's why the taking the refuge is something like when you are making the sum of the prevention or something like you are, when you're taking the refuge and you are taking the refuge, it is something like promotion, prevention, or the something of the preparation for these of the challenges of the impermanent. Yeah, so that is the second reason, okay? First reason is to begin the refuge or try to become yourself as a better human. You might be a very good person, but you have to become, it helps you to become the better than the before. The second reason is that it's just the preparation for the impermanent problems. What you are having today might not have tomorrow. So everything can be changed. Everything is not stable. What you think is stable. Physically, body itself is right now might be healthy. Who knows that after 1 or 2 days, what will happen? No one can say that. Even what you're feeling that you are very healthy, if you go on a medical test, maybe they will say there's some defects in the body. Very difficult to say. So that's why this is a prevention or the preparation for the impermanence, the taking the refuge. Okay, this is the second two reasons. Okay. I just remember the one incident when you were saving, having, when you're talking about having the good salary, isn't it? I just remember the one thing. Just two days back, I was just visiting the one place. Usually it had the war, I think Second World War time, Italy and all this fighting, there's one visited one war place. Yeah. I think in the Second World War time, yeah. I've just visited the place where they're having, I think a lot of the battle went on in the world at the time of the Second World War in the Italy and all this, no? In the Europe there when they're having the fight. That the places in the Italy, okay? Mm-hmm. Just 2 days back, yeah, day before yesterday, I think, the day before yesterday, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that place, they told a lot of people died and a lot of the ghosts, now they are the ghosts, something like that issue we just discussed and talked, yeah. Mm-hmm. So then the one of the Canadian person told me, one Canadian person told me one thing, very funny thing. So he told the one thing that, he told me the one thing that the real ghost is the person who have no money. Once you have no money, then you are a ghost. Maybe from the, his perspective, I become the ghost monk. Okay, so okay, another question.
The next question. So when I have a real altar and I visualize an altar in my mind to offer things to Buddha, and I get married, so is any difference between that two kinds of merit? And when I offer the real things to the Buddha and I visualize the things to offer to the Buddha, and I also get a merit, so what's the difference between two kinds of merit?
Okay. Two things, okay? That is a very simple way. When you are feeling very hungry, just visualize that you are eating the good foods, okay? This is one thing. And the real eating the good food, these two have a difference or not? When you are very hungry, just visualizing the eating the good food, one thing, no? And just real, in the really, practically you are eating the good foods. These two have a big difference, no? Yeah, so that's why, so thing is that, so that's why, so same thing is like that. When you're having the visualizing and offering, it's also get the merit. When you offer the something in the very real way, the merit is a much stronger. Yeah. Offer the real flower to the Buddha, and when you're visualizing the offering the flower to the Buddha, both will get the merit. If you compare the, these two merits, when you offer the real flower to the Buddha, that merit is a much heavier. Okay, so that is a heavier, okay, heavier merits, okay, you will gain, yeah. Mm. Okay, another question, okay.
Mm-hmm. So when I put my hope and my trust on somebody or something, mm-hmm. but I get disappointed over and over again, then in the future, should I again put trust and my hope onto that person and that thing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, when you put the hope on the someone, it depends on how you put the hope, okay? Mm-hmm. When we put the hope on the someone, we will expect too much. That makes us the disappointed. Mm? When you trust on the, sometimes we will, we have the lax expectation, that hope will not hurt you. In our day-to-day practical life, someone, when we love someone, sometimes we expect too much. When you love someone, you expect the too much, also that makes the, your love is impure. When you trust someone, you will expect the too much. That will make your trust as an impure trust. So generally, when you trust someone, that analysis is very important. To whom you have to trust, analysis is very important. Number one. Number two is not only analysis. You have to see the whom you are trusting is what capable of that person is. Generally, one time I always used to say that sometimes generally in the Vietnam, everyone, when they talk about the medical field, everyone is a doctor. So that's why when you trust him as a doctor, then it's a wrong trust, okay? Even they are not doctor, but they will become like a doctor. So when you trust them as a doctor, then it's a wrong trust. There are the many ways of the trust, okay? So that's why you have to know the, what they are capable of. So that's why first the trust, you trust someone, the true part. First thing is analyzing. The second thing is also know yourself, what is the real capable of that person, what kind of thoughts, what kind of really can you do. That's what you do. Then you trust them. Now the other questions, okay.
So the next question is about Sophia Buddha. Can Rinpoche explain to us about the Sophia Buddha and give the oral transmission of the mantra of this Buddha.
What Buddha?
Bhikkhu Baba. Bhikkhu Baba.
Okay, then maybe we'll do it later, okay? Okay, I will do it later, okay?
I know that in our daily lives sometimes we cannot avoid the mistakes. So I'm afraid that when I take refuse three jewels, then after that I will make a mistake to violate the rules of the Upasaka vows. I will break that vow. So I'm very confused. So that's the reason why I haven't returned to the three jewels.
I see. If you make the mistake,
what?
What's his question? If he make the mistake, will he break the rules or what?
The person say that he's confused. He confused and he's very hesitated to take in the refuse with the rituals because he's if he take the vow, then he will break the vow because we cannot avoid the mistake and we will make mistakes. So that's his confusion.
I see. Okay. Okay. Okay, you answered, okay. When you look at a born, when you look at a baby, whenever the baby started to walk, it will fall. Whenever baby started to walk, it will fall. After falling down, that baby will never learn how to walk in his whole life. The baby will walk and fall and walk and fall and walk and fall. At last, finally, he will start to walk. Baby who skate for the falling down all the time, that baby will never learn the walking. In his whole life, he have to live without any walking. Yeah, then he will never learn the walking. One thing is important thing is that when the baby falls down, you have to stand up. That is the important thing. Falling down is not a mistake. When you are not stand up when you are fall down, that is a mistake. Taking the vow, when you make the mistake, that is not a wrong, big wrong. From when you make a mistake, learn from that mistake. That's a very special. So that's why. So when you take the vow, so maybe whoever takes the vow, some then not everyone will be successful not making any mistake. So many people will fail when taking the vow, and again they will make a mistake. But the important thing is to learn from that mistake and not commit that mistake again. Trying is the best. Okay, you have to try to again the when you have to try to stand up. That's the important thing, okay? So many people taking the refuge vow, they will make the mistakes, but only few will learn from that mistake. You have to be with that among these few persons who learn from the mistakes, okay? Even after the taking the refuge vow, yeah. Okay, another questions, okay?
So the next question is, so how can I help my children to have faith and to take refuge with the three jewels? How can I help my children to have faith and to take refuge with the Buddha?
There are a few ways, okay? Parents are the real teacher of their children. Parents are the model of their children. That's the thing is that like the, when you lead the parent, when you lead the children to generate the faith of the Buddha, there are a few ways how you can do that. Number one is through the advice, conversation. Through conversation, you have to convince the child that again and again tell the qualities of the Buddha. That is the number one. Benefits of the Buddha taking the refuge, yeah? Number one. Number two is yourself. When you let your children see that how you pay homage to the Buddha, let your children see you that how you take the refuge of the Buddha. That will go very deep in their mind. Third is to bring the environment. Whenever you are having in the family conversation, whatever the family conversation, also you can talk with the more with the positive things and the more with the very right things with the children. Right now, the more the family gatherings, so maybe 90% of the talk they talk are very useless things. These also useless things go very deep in the children. Okay, these three things are then you can bring the more in the refuge, I mean the faith in your children's mind to take the refuge in Buddha. Okay, another question. Okay.
The next question is can I arrange the altar and do the offerings on the altar without the master's blessings on the altar?
What?
So with that master's blessing on altar, can I
fine, with the blessing you can arrange altar, no problem. Okay, now another question.
Next question is, in the previous teachings, Rinpoche gave the oral transmission of the mantra that we chant, we listen to teaching, and the mantra we chant, everything we consume the meat. Can Rinpoche give the oral transmission to the new members?
One mantra.
There are two mantras. The mantra when we chant before we receive the teaching, and the other mantra we chant before we consume the meat.
One mantra, what? Yeah. What mantra? What can you just tell me once again?
Okay. One is the meat, and one mantra that we chant before we listen to the teaching session.
There is one mantra. I don't know. What is that mantra? Can you just tell me the proper name of the mantra? Okay, which mantra are we talking about? Okay, so now I can give the mantra of the temple before consuming the meat, okay? So I have not received it, just follow that, okay? Just chant that mantra 7 times and blow on the meat what you eat, okay? One mantra, they are talking about the blessing, the feet mantra or what?
No, Rinpoche, the mantra that every teaching session that we did before we get the teaching from the master.
Which mantra that mantra maybe but I don't mantra that saying I didn't get it very clear. Okay, can you tell that I didn't get it clear? Okay, one mantra I didn't get it that clear, so I can give you the mantra of the consuming the meat. Okay. Okay, just I have not received the oral transmission, just recite after me. Okay, just recite that 7 times and blow on the meat, then you can consume the meat. Okay, it will help to bless the animal which you're eating the meat. Okay, that will bless that animal. Okay. 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 Now you're gone. Okay. Okay. Fine. Any other?
So, what's the difference between Buddhism and other religions?
The difference between Buddhism
and other religions.
Okay. Buddhism or other religion, okay, 2 points, okay, the difference between the 2 points, Buddhism and other religion, okay, they're the two main points difference, okay, the Buddhism, the reality is more important.
Pardon?
The reality, truth and the reality is more important. Other religion, truth and the reality is not important. What the God or the whatever they are, the founder or their prophet saying is more important. And the second point is the Buddhism always says that the analyze and believe. In the other religion, it will say first they will say believe. Second, they will say believe more. That's the difference. In the Buddhism, first it will say analyze. Then second, it will say the believe. Other religion, first they will say believe. First they will say believe. Then the second, they will say believe more. So in the Buddhism, analysis and experiment is a very important. Under religion, analyzing the experience is not important. So that's why Buddhism can be also considered as a science. Okay.
The next question.
Okay, last question. Okay, maybe.
Sleep paralysis, Rinpoche, is there a spiritual phenomenon about sleep paralysis?
What paralysis?
Sleep paralysis. The feeling. Sleep paralyzes the feeling of like some kind of spirit taking control of the body. And is that a spiritual phenomenon?
Sleep paralyzes and what?
Is that phenomenon spiritual phenomenon?
Okay. So sometimes it's not everything is not related with the ghost, okay? So there are so many things that some of the body will function in its own way. So that's why the when something is a ghost, it doesn't mean that it's related to the ghost when you cannot explain it. So because it depends on the various cultural issues. When something related to the God, some person where they believe in the God, they will always try to talk with us related to the God. somewhere they believe in the ghost, always trying to relate that in the ghost. Somewhere they, this will depends. It is just like the, because of the, you cannot explain it properly. But cases, these also the physical sickness, and you cannot, the sleep paralysis is some of the sickness. So that's why in the Tibetan, lots of things that they try to relate with the land protector. It is not a ghost. It is not a god. Something be middle of that. Always so many things they will try to connect with the land protector. Vietnam, a lot of things you are trying to relate with a ghost. That is not a ghost. We will call the land protector, which is not a god, which is not a deity. In the middle of that, there's something. Yeah, so. Okay, now last question, okay? And we'll stop. The remaining question, maybe I'll answer next time, okay? This will be the last question, okay?
For example, on the altar, we have to put a lot of photos, the Shakyamuni photos, the Merit Field photos, and Kuan Yin photos, Guru Rinpoche photo, and in order, should we put those photos on the altar?
I see, the Buddha Shakyamuni photo, okay? Buddha Shakyamuni photo, okay, center. Then you can keep all the sites, okay?
And if we have the photos of our master, and how should we arrange those photos?
Okay, that's the same, in the keeping that label, okay? In the altar, okay? On the altar.
The level with?
All the altar where you keep the Buddhas and everyone, no? That old altar, okay? Okay. Okay, so today we'll stop here, okay?